Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
We worship a God who is alive, and our focus, you go to some churches, particularly a lot of Pentecostal churches, and their walk is always one of fighting Satan. You hear it a lot. It's all, they get up and Satan's done this, Satan's done that. So that really isn't biblical to be doing that. We call down the presence of God. That's what we see throughout the New Testament. We worship God. We call down his presence. We live out of his presence. And through prayer, as Lloyd said earlier, that is the way we fight Satan. He does attack us. But, so we live under grace. None of us are under condemnation. Amen. Let's all say that together. I am no longer under any condemnation. Go on.
I am no longer under any condemnation.
And just know that, because that's where Satan will attack us. Do you see what I'm getting at? We never lose the fact that God is sovereign. God is on the throne, and it's not us battling Satan. Jesus does it for us. We pray. But there are times in our spiritual walk with God that we do have times where it just seems like it's one thing after another that we're under attack, that somehow life is so difficult. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. And I'm, in preparing, I just felt that there were many amongst us that you really feel like you've been through, going through, or just coming out of a season where it's just been one thing after another where you felt attacked. I felt there's many of them. Can you quickly raise your hand if that's you? And I'm raising my hand because that's definitely me. Yeah? So it just is, isn't it? And I'll say two things on this. It's one thing is that I believe because we're going to go through Revelation, we've got that. Because if you do the study and get, because I've had to, it's transformed how I do life. Honestly, it has. And it will you as well. But also, when Angela's getting up and saying that we're going to receive more, usually in the history of the church, when the church gets more persecuted, when there's just about to be breakthrough, you will see that there is spiritual forces that will go to work, and Satan will try to disrupt your life in any way that he can and give you all sorts of other things to do apart from what God has called you to do. And I, one of them is really to be here every week as we go through this. It's a major part. It's who we are. And yet if you don't grasp that from Revelation, you're not hearing it. Yeah. So the fact that we're so many of us have felt that, I believe, right, come up for prayer at the end, please. That you know what you need to do, right? So it's not about us fighting the devil. That will win. Do you know what wins our war? A fresh revelation of Jesus. When we see Jesus as who he is, when we get filled with his spirit again, you can go out there and conquer anything. Yeah? Amen? Can I hear a big amen to that? Okay, so if you feel like you've been under that attack and you want prayer, come at the end. We're going to pray for you. We're going to break that off you. In the name of Jesus, okay? Let's welcome up our Jules, who's going to read us Revelation 1. Come on.
Woo! Morning, church. I'm reading from the New International Version. It's quite a long piece, so bear with me. Okay, so the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, amen. And blessed are those who hear it, amen. And take it to heart what is written, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Lord Almighty. John's vision of Christ. I, John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice, a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Amen.
Amen. Well done, Jules. Well done. Okay. So, now we begin. Okay. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, and what we're calling it this week is full disclosure, the unveiling of Christ. And so as we begin this book of Revelation, we need to know that the word revelation means to reveal something. And for us, this is lifting the veil between us and heaven. And the book of Revelation is a series of apocalyptic visions full of numbers, symbols and metaphors that are given to us. And in order for us to understand the book of Revelation, we need to understand the kind of writing that it is. Prose is a normal kind of newspaper thing that you read, and most of the Bible is in that. You get poetry, which is a different kind of writing, but apocalyptic writing isn't that. It's God gives us these visions. He gives us dreams. He gives us numbers that come out, and pictures start to form as we give one after the other, and that's how we are supposed to understand the apocalyptic writing. That's the beauty of it. Don't read it the same as prose. You will miss the point. You'll miss it. It's not supposed to be read that you go into every single detail and understand each part like that. It isn't kind of like that. It's supposed to stir us up from the inside. We're supposed to feel what's going on. It's supposed to get you emotionally involved with what is going on, like when you're in a, you know, when you watch a film and something happens and you're in it, you're there, you know, and that's what it's supposed to catch us up into. That's so as we re-look at Revelation, that is kind of how to understand it. And at the time, with the feeling part of it, if you can imagine, well, you know, as God revealed to us through it, his glory and his splendor and his majesty, as we're going to see in a bit, you know, his eyes are like burning like fire, you start to get some of the glory of God, and it brings joy, it brings confidence, it brings boldness up in us. But then, and you're supposed to get caught up in it, not just think, oh, this is, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. Isn't that? You get caught up in what is being painted to us by John. Or you see like swarms of demonic locusts with heads like humans and stings that if they sting you, you would rather be dead because it's so painful. Swarms of the things let loose on earth. And as you catch that and feel like I'm going to be in that, when God sends them things down, all of a sudden a fear starts to rise up. And that's what is provoking you. It's provoking me to feel, wow, God is going to do something. It's very fearful, but he is still glorious. And that is how it starts to fit together. So as we do it, though, as picture after picture comes, you know, the horses thing, Jesus on his white horse, there's various different ones that will come. All of a sudden, you start to realize that there's someone behind what is happening on earth. And we start to see the history of mankind unfold. And that's how we should understand apocalyptic writing. And many people, I'm not saying we've got it fully sewn up, we're not. God is revealing more all the time. That's one of the things about Scripture. God continually reveals more. And as we look through the book, you'll see that there's 6 different pictures of what God is doing in earth, in man's history between now and he returns. These pictures are all happening at the same time. So it's not about looking at Revelation and think, whereabouts are we? What prophetic words have been fulfilled and what haven't? It isn't like that. All of them are being fulfilled until we get towards the end where Christ just comes in and that's it. And so this is how to understand the book of Revelation. It's like watching a painter paint his painting with the different colours and you haven't got a clue what he's painting. But in the end, it all comes together and you can see what he was doing. So these 6 pictures that you will get as we go through the weeks build this picture that comes together. And also, and the people at the time, see, we don't use this kind of genre anymore, this kind of writing anymore, so we don't particularly understand it. But at the time, they would have known what John was on about. They were used to apocalyptic writing, and what would have happened would be that they would read the book from start to finish. And they go, wow, that's what it's about. It's not really meant to be read in this section, this section, this section. But we're going to do that because when we do that, it helps us to see the overall picture of what God is doing. Are you okay with that, church? Yeah. And so try to get used to that. When you read it, I would encourage you to read it because, as we hear in a minute, it comes with a blessing. But be aware of that. Read through it. It might seem difficult, but just read through it and you get the sense of what it's about. It's like a mystery being revealed bit by bit, the veil coming off, and you start to see and you think, wow, look at these things that are happening in the world. I can see it now. I can see the evil there. I can see that God comes in. I can see that he wins and all the rest. And so I just encourage you to get the most out of this by reading the thing regularly. And as we look through Revelation, you'll see that there are other parts of the Bible that speak apocalyptically, particularly the book of Daniel, where so it refers to Old Testament prophecies a lot in Revelation. And we see that with Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar, the king at the time, had been given dreams. Now, we didn't understand what the dreams were all about because they're apocalyptic in nature, like most dreams are. They're like you see something. And what is God saying in that? That's how to read it as well. And all of a sudden, we see Daniel come over. Nebuchadnezzar, can anyone help me out? I've had this dream. I know it's from God. What is it saying? And Daniel says to him, look, in 2:28, God in heaven reveals mysteries. That's what God does. He loves to do that. That's what he's doing with us now. So we can receive the more he's promising. He wants to reveal himself in a new way. And then in 244, Daniel said this to Nebuchadnezzar, look, and what Nebuchadnezzar was being told was a prophetic word that God is going to be doing in the future. The now word is, we're seeing it unfold now. We're living in it. Nebuchadnezzar was given it all that time ago. And Daniel said, this is what God is saying. He's revealing this mystery to us, that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will break to pieces all other kingdoms. And his kingdom will last forever. And that's what's happening in Revelation. Well, as you look about the world today, you'll see kingdom after kingdom rise up. Why does God allow Putin to intimidate the world? Why does God allow Bin Laden to rise up in the world? Why does communism rise up in the world? Why does it do that? So that God can put them under his feet, and we will have a testimony forever. If you're ever in heaven and think, God, I think heaven could be run a little bit better than this, there'll already be a testimony to say, yeah, you know, I don't know, Trump had an idea of making his country the only one forefront of it. It didn't work. It won't work. You know, it's or Putin or any of the other people that have, yeah, who have we got? Various other ones in the world that are there now, and we can look at what they're doing and it can instill fear into us. But know that God is about doing his business. Amen. That he wants them trampled under his feet. He is God. He is King of the universe. And his kingdom will crush every other kingdom. Hallelujah. So we get peace, guys. And so this is how we understand it. This is what's going on in the book of Revelation. And it starts with a bit of an intro. We'll look at that verse 1. It's the revelation, verse 1, it says, of Jesus Christ. So there are animals in there, beasts in there, weird powers rising up in there. But it isn't about them primarily. They're just a side issue. No, the issue is Jesus. And this is full disclosure, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke and John spoke about Christ on earth. This is speaking about Christ in heaven and is supposed to open our eyes up to how glorious he is and all that he's going to be doing on earth between now and when he returns. And he wants us to know. He wants us to be informed that if everyone else on earth, whatever goes on, he wants us informed about what is going on. And then verse 3 says this: blessed are those who read and hear this prophecy. So there are great blessings for us that come. God's goodness, favor coming on our lives as we read this and hear it. It's the only book in the Bible that kind of says that, and it's blown me away as I've studied it. As I said before, blessed are those, but those who keep what is written in it and obey. And so this is a call to obedience. It's just not a weird book that freaks us out, so most Christians I know and spoke to avoid reading it. This is a book that comes with a blessing, and as we obey it, God is calling us, like we've heard so much today, get the reins. Don't let him pour his power in you and you're running off doing all sorts of different things. No, no, no. Get the reins on that horse. Get the reins on that power and do what God has called you to do. Be obedient to the word. That's where the life is. That's where the blessings are. And in verse 4, I love this one. You've got to get this. Grace and peace, he said, to you from him. Who? From him. Who was and is to come, and the seven spirits, and who's before the throne, and Jesus Christ. Who is that? That's our Trinitarian God. You see, who was and is to come is the Father. And then the seven spirits before God. You know, the numbers there mean different things in Revelation. That's this kind of writing is like they throw a number out and there's meaning behind it. The number 4 is God's creative works. The number 7 is absolute perfection. And number 10 is the completion of divine order. And so when it mentions seven spirits around the throne, it's talking about the perfect spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. So here we have the book of Revelation, and it says, grace and peace to you from him. And so we've got God in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit saying grace. Grace is us receiving what we don't deserve, and peace to us. And what this is a wonderful greeting for us from Him today. He loves us. He loves you. And it's grace to you. And the whole thing is grace. As we look through Revelation, you'll see that He created it all good, that evil came into it, and somehow He comes and saves us out of that. And then all the evil that's in the world, He comes and eradicates all that, and in the end He brings a new heaven, a new earth. It's all grace. We do not deserve it, but He wants us to have that full grace to us, and then peace as he fights evil in the world, in whatever form it takes, that we're at peace with that. It's okay. Whatever goes on, I'm going to be in heaven with Him forever. This is our God. This is our history. We know it before it's even been written, because it's been written already. Amen. And you see, Revelation, as we look at it, was written to Christians at a time when they were going through great persecution. You know, as we look at the Emperor Nero. Nero was a horrible guy. He's a complete nutcase, if you ask me. But he was burning people alive as candles in the garden, wrapping them up in skins of animals, and then allowing them to be devoured by wild animals. And others, you know, just for believing in Christ, this was, for saying Jesus is Lord. You know, people were skinned alive. And if you are skinned alive, it is so painful, you will pass out before you die, in and out of consciousness. So what they would do is turn the people upside down that they were skinning, so that the blood would go to the head, and then they wouldn't become in and out of consciousness. They would be fully in pain until they die. And even worse things were coming upon Christians at that time because of their faith. Guys, sometimes we've got to ask ourselves, are we following the same God? Are we, with the little things that stop us coming to church, reading the Bible, praying to Him, doing things His way? Are we really? It's a real honest challenge to us today, because it's clear here. And so the book of Revelation was written. It's Jesus saying to us, look, guys, whatever happens on earth, whatever goes on down there, keep sharing the gospel. Let people know that the time is coming. Let people know how to be saved out of this. Let people know. And you might die at the end of it, probably not in this country, but we'll hear a bit more about that in a minute. But it's going on. Keep sharing the gospel. Verse 5 says that Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the ruler of the kings of the earth, who loves and freed us from our sins by His blood. So we all know that we have done wrong. Even though we've got Christ in us, we still do that. Yet Christ still loves us, and He's freed us from our sins. And that's the heart of the whole book of Revelation. That God loves us, this King of Kings. It will put every power under His feet, and He saves us out of that. He has freed us from every sin. He is our Saviour, this King of the universe. And so practically, what does that mean to us? Practically, it means this, that if Almighty God has freed us from our sins, no sin in our life should have dominion over us. Through the cross, through Christ's blood, we have now resurrection power in us to overcome anything, whether it's drinking, whether it's gossip, whether it's being power hungry, whatever it is, you have power now to conquer it through Christ who lives in us. And so ask yourself the question, what is it I'm battling with? And we will all be battling with something. I guarantee that. The Bible says that. Okay, you have power to overcome. We are all on that journey. That's why we're family together as well. We encourage each other. Come on, you can do this. You can overcome this. See, the problem is sin and evil in the world. It's sin and evil. And Ephesians 6 says that our battle isn't against people, but it's about against the powers and the principalities in the heavenly realms. And so we see their effects today with climate change, with man destroying the earth that we've been put on. We see it through the threat of nuclear war, with all that's been in the news about Iran and Korea. What's that new? Is it corona disease that's all breaking out now in China? There are laws being passed by the governments in most lands now. They're absolutely abhorrent to what God is all about. They're detestable to God. But what I want us to see is there's a power behind this. There is the powers and principalities that are using people like that to just oppose God. As we look around the world, the Christians are being persecuted every day. I want us to get this because it's too comfortable in this country to do whatever we like. That's what they're doing out there. Yeah, I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to listen to the Bible. I'm going to make a God of my own. I'm going to do what I like. Exactly what they do. Do you know what? And we get tempted to drop what God wants us to do. You know, do you know what? Around the world, there are 266 million people that suffer because of their faith every day. And not like this country, it isn't like that. You know, 8 people die every day because of their faith around the world. 23 women get raped every day because they profess Christian faith around the world. In North Korea, you are either killed if you're found out to be a Christian, or they'll put you in a labor camp, not just you, but you and 4 generations after you. Can you imagine that? You get banged up, and then you know that your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild is going to be banged up in a labor camp till they die because of your faith in North Korea. Afghanistan, same sort of stuff. But verse 7 comes in on that. And verse 7, Jesus will return. He's going to come in the clouds. And so what it's saying is that God is going to stop time one day. He's finished with this. It's not going to be like this forever. We're wise because God has shown us what's going to happen, but it isn't going to stay that way. And this is a wonderful thing where it says, God, Jesus is going to come in his clouds. That's a pointing out of the Shekinah glory of God. He's going to come back, this glorious God of ours, this, you know, the Shekinah glory that used to fill the presence in the temple, used to come on it in power and glory and wonder, and people couldn't even stand up in it. Well, God is going to be so glorious, he's coming back in that, this outshining of him, and every eye will see him at the same time around the world. When he comes, the whole earth will see him at the same time, but not as he was, nothing like what he was in his glory, in his total glory. It's going to be full disclosure of all that he is, and he's going to bring in a new world, a new heaven and a new earth. It isn't going to be like this forever, guys, but don't live for this, live for that. We're going to be there far longer than we are here. And in John verse 10 says this, that I was in the Spirit, just as we are when we gather and we pray, all of a sudden we know inside. If you miss Wednesday night with the other churches, it was fantastic. You know, like here, where the presence of God come, we was in the Spirit. We knew we were in the Spirit, this other realm where we're here, yet we're seated in the heavenly realms. That's what the Bible says. And as Colin said this morning, when we believe what the Bible says, it makes sense. It starts to work. We knew something was going on. Well, John here knew he was in the Spirit, and he was able to see all the visions that God showed him. Well, it's the same with us. You know, when we spend time with God, when we go to him in prayer and meditate with him, all of a sudden he will start to show us what is going to go on in our lives. So we're not like a wild horse running off in every direction that we've got the reins on. No, I know where God has called me to be. I know what he's called me to do. I'm not going to waste my time on other things. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Write it down, God said to John. Write it down for the churches then. Well, it's just as much for us today as it was for then. And I believe over these weeks, we're going to start questioning, why am I alive? What is it God has called me to be? What do I give my life to? I tell you, this series has challenged me more than any other. Any other. It's transformed the way I think, the way I see things. I so see heaven now more than I did before. My future with God in heaven rather than what I'm living for now. It's so important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the rest will be added. Don't chase the rest and hope God will going to help help me out at some point. We've got it the wrong way round if we do that. And then we see in verse 12, John gets to see Jesus as he really is in heaven, on the throne, in glory, with the angels and the archangels singing glory. Was it holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty? Jesus clothed in his robe, gold with his golden sash round him, fit for a king, dressed fit for a king and divine royalty. And then you see Jesus with his hair white as snow, white as wool, infinitely old and infinitely wise. And then we see his eyes that are blazing like fire. We see God who sees everything. We see his feet that are burnished like, glowing like burnished bronze, refined in the fire. God is absolutely pure. Jesus is absolutely holy as we look at him. And he expects that of us to walk that path with him. We can do it, church. And his voice is like the sound of many waters, awesome in power. I heard the audible voice of God about 30 years ago. It's the weirdest experience. It was so loud that God had to give me the ability to hear it, because if he rose his voice, it would have bust me head open without a doubt. But I was aware at that moment that if God raises his voice anymore, the whole earth would split. It was so powerful. You could never imagine how powerful that felt. That is the voice of God, that when he speaks, people get saved. When he speaks, people are healed. When he speaks, the whole of creation jumps and does what he says. And then his face that shone like the sun, shining in full glory. This is our God, guys. This is what God wants to give us at the start of Revelation. A full understanding of who he is. Not this weak guy that ended up just on the cross and somehow rose. This is the glorious God that we worship. And you know what? In verse 17 says this, that John fell at his feet as though dead, totally undone, completely surrendered, banged out on his face before God. Question is this how you see him? Is this how you see your God? Is this the God that you worship when you read your Bible? Do you expect to meet this God? Is this the God that we give our lives to every day? He says, I have a foot. He said this in verse, the next one anyway, fear not. So you picture this. There's John on the floor, face down, absolutely done in. Absolutely done in. And Jesus comes up to him. He knows the fear that's in John. He knows that. And he says, fear not, John, for I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades, death and Hades. And what Jesus was saying is, look, I'm going to reveal this stuff to you guys. You're going to know so much more about what is going to happen on the earth between now and he returns. And some of it's going to be fearful, okay? Not as fearful as if you meet Jesus and he isn't your saviour. But what he said to John was, look, John, it's okay. It's me. It's Jesus. I'm here for you. And when the world is wrapped up, the keys of Hades and death, I've got them. I'm going to take you with me. I'm going to take my church with me. I'm going to marry my bride and you're going to be with me forever. And so, church, know this, that we are suffering. We will suffer in this world. But this isn't it. Your best life is yet to come. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. But let's keep testifying to him. I want us now to close our eyes. Okay, I want us to close our eyes before our God. You see, this is the beginning of the journey. John got to see Jesus face to face. He got to see him. And I believe that God wants to give us that full disclosure right now. Upon us. Upon us. He wants to show us his glory. Close your eyes. I want you to go there. This is apocalyptic writing. Let your emotions get involved. See what God wants to give us before he tells us the other stuff. See what he's got. See that he's seated on the throne with all the angels and the archangels and the heavenly hosts singing to him. Absolute perfection before you. Absolute glory before you. And he's seated on the throne, clothed in the most wonderful clothing you could ever imagine, fit for the kings of kings and the Lord of lords. And his hair is white. And all of a sudden you realize what it's for. That this guy's been around forever. The Ancient of Days always was, is now, and always will be. And he is infinitely wise, infinitely wise. And you see that his eyes are blazing like fire as you gaze into his eyes right now. He's looking at you. All the blazing fire looking at you. But the blazing fire is full of love, and the fire consumes everything that would hinder your relationship with him. Burns it up, burns it up, burning love. And then you look down at his feet and it's, what's that? They're glowing like burning bronze refined in the fire, glowing with absolute purity, absolute holiness, absolute righteousness, absolute beauty. This is our God. And he speaks to you and he says, your name there, right there, like rushing waters, powerful. He just mentioned your name, speaks to you. And you look up and he says, open your eyes. Open your eyes, it's me, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And his face is shining like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And you know we can't normally look at that. But he gives you the ability to see. And it's beyond what you can understand. This is our God. This is the one who called us in to fellowship with him. This is the one who is our Father in heaven, that is calling us to be with him forever and ever. As we get that fresh revelation, guys, he's going to free us up from anything that holds us back, anything that hinders us. You're no longer wild horses, guys. You get hold of the bit. You get hold of the reins. And you say, this is my God. You stay rooted into him. And he will guide you and he will lead you through your life and the adventures that he has for you. It's not over yet, guys. Can we stand, please? It's not over yet. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, this King of Kings has come for you. Come and see me at the end. But for others, if you felt that you've been through a storm, if you feel like it's been a day of evil for you just for so long, one thing after another, just keep going wrong. We realise that, yes, we have a sovereign God, but sometimes we do go through the Job times where we're attacked and things, and God wants to break all the worries, the fears off you today. If that is you, then come and get prayer. Come and get prayer. Let's worship our God.